So, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for hanging in there with me. Much appreciated. I'm changing my plan. I'm not going to quite do what I did yesterday, just because our numbers are a little bit smaller. And I thought what I'd do is move from a class to a seminar. That's right. So that means I'm going to ask you to do a little bit more, but I'll be doing there with you. It's just a little more fun for all, I think. But we're going to dive right into the text, and if you look at page 2, since we've done. I know what I want to do. Sorry, first. Let's, first of all, just read the dialogue, just to remind ourselves of the dialogue. And I need a Mr. Yunyan and a Mr. Dawu, please. Mr. Yunyan? Dawu? Great. Okay, so, do you want to begin, Mr. Yunyan, please?
What does the Bodhisattva of Great Compassion do with so many hands and eyes?
Like someone reaching back for the pillow at night.
I got it.
What did you get?
All over the body, our hands and eyes.
You've said it well, but it's 8 or 9 out of 10.
I am just this. How about yourself, brother?
Wherever the body reaches, it has hands and eyes.
Great. So, let's...
And say that other translation.
There are a number of other translations, but the other one is, for the last line there, is throughout the body, nothing but hands and eyes. And many variations on that as well.
It's hard in English to say two translations which both have truth or legitimacy. It's layered. So some people express one and some people express another, but they're not mutually exclusive sometimes.
Yeah. Chinese is a wonderful language, I think, especially for poetry, because the characters sometimes can be nouns, they can be verbs, sometimes they're adjectives. Often, particularly in classical, there's not a strong indication which is which. You kind of judge by context, which can lead to all kinds of delightful understandings of what a phrase or a sentence might mean. But let's read one more section of this, and I'll talk a little bit, and then I'll have you kind of analyze a section together. So I think we got down to, on page 2, Dawu said. Right, Dawu said. Right. Has everyone got that, page 2? Roughly okay. And could someone read that for us, that paragraph? Okay.
Dawu said, like someone reaching back for the pillow at night. He meant that it is just like searching for the pillow at night. Reaching back means groping for it. At night means in utter darkness. It is as clear as looking at a mountain in the daytime. Using the hands and eyes is like someone reaching back for the pillow at night. Study the use of the hands and eyes in this way. Investigate a nighttime that is thought of in the daytime, and a nighttime experienced in the nighttime. Investigate a nighttime that is neither daytime nor nighttime. Someone reaching back for the pillow may not be understood as Avalokiteshvara using the hands and eyes, but there is no way to escape it.
Right. Thank you. Well, Questions? No. What a lovely image Dawu has given us here, I think. An expression of compassion is like someone reaching back for the pillow at night. And since I've been kind of preparing this, I've been ruminating for a couple of weeks on this. And I noticed in my sleepy early morning state, because I usually wake up like at 5, the cats start wrestling on the bed. That when I turn over and readjust the pillow, there's a sense of comfort and ease right away, right? A comfort and ease. And the pillow doesn't feel separate from me. It does when I wake up. But when I'm there, you know, it's just almost as if the pillow too is part of my hand, part of my body, comforting my neck and my head. So reaching back for the pillow, you know, very reflexive, very natural. Kind of like when we shift in walking so we don't bump into somebody, right? We don't often think of it. We're just naturally gliding through the stream of people as we're making our way down the sidewalk, more or less. Sometimes we do bump into people, but we don't calculate very much. It's not just, it's just kind of a something we naturally are, we do. I think what is lovely about this image too is compassion, as the koan and dogen are telling us, is not something special or sentimental. It's not just a few rare instances, you know, things that have pop up in our life, you know, or something done by saints or saintly people, or only applied in really dire circumstances. Here, Dawu tells us it fills our life and our world. And sometimes with its presence is so gentle, so subtle, we hardly notice it at all. Now, I was looking at this and looking at the original, and here's my guess at the rest of it. Reaching back means grasping for it. And it dawned on me what I think Dogen is actually explaining to his audience what the Chinese word means. So it's an unusual word, Chinese word, that I don't think his audience would know about because the dialogue itself was written in Chinese. So he's explaining what this word means for his audience, his Japanese audience. Now, the rest of it. Night and darkness in the Zen tradition are metaphors for the absolute aspect of our existence. Right. So there's that famous, the Sandokai, or the merging of difference and unity that we chant. And in there, we can see that darkness is a metaphor for the absolute. Why? Because when it's dark, you know, we don't distinguish, we can't see objects, right? Everything has this sense of unity or of oneness. Whereas in daytime, we see things, and so daylight or daytime becomes a metaphor for the relative, right? Me, you, him, her. But in the dark, there's a sense of everything merging. And both are, of course, true at the same moment. Although most of the time we operate out of a kind of relative point of view. So on one hand, not to pun too much here, the expression of compassion is as natural and ordinary and as obvious as seeing a mountain in the daylight, like today. Or yesterday, go out and you look out the North Shore Mountains and there they are. Or last night we were going home seeing Mount Baker in a pink glow. No way you could miss it. And there's nothing special we need to do. Compassion is just there. For me, the next part where he says, investigate a nighttime that is thought of in the daytime and a nighttime experienced in the nighttime is really Dogen asking us to consider how we express compassion in our day-to-day lives and also how we express compassion in our zazen, that kind of nighttime experience in nighttime, in that kind of way that has no verbal expression. How do we express compassion? And then, in the usual Dogen way, he says, okay, now go beyond that. Go beyond that and fully engage without any discrimination, beyond any idea of the relative and absolute. A person may not know or understand that they are expressing compassion, that they express compassion. But there's no avoiding it. It's there, whether we know it or not. The expression of compassion that is within us goes beyond our knowing and not knowing. Isn't that true? It goes beyond our knowing or not knowing so often. So the next part, just before we move on, is we're going to read two more paragraphs. Sorry, let me just, oh no, we're going to skip a little bit. We're going to read two paragraphs, and then I'm going to ask you, after we read them, to do a little exercise with them. So we're going to jump a little bit just so that we can get to some key or certain sections that I would like us to have a look at. Let's go to page 3. And Yunyun said, I got it, I got it. Okay, we'll go there. Gavin, do.
Yuyin said, I got it. I got it. He did not mean he understood Dawu's words, that I got it. I got it makes his experience of the Bodhisattva using the hands and eyes a true experience. Dawen used his words boundlessly, just like this. He entered that very day boundlessly, just like this. Dawen said, what did you get? This means that although Yunyan's I got it does not hinder I got it, Dawan's response was, what did you get?
Okay, and then one more paragraph.
Already there was I got it and you got it. Is it not that the eyes got it and the hands got it? Is I got it actualized or not actualized? While it is true that it was I who got it, it is true that it was you who were asked, what did you get? This requires investigation. Regarding Yunyan's words all over the body, our hands and eyes, when people lecture on reaching back for the pillow, many of them explain that there are hands and eyes all over Avalokiteshvara's body. To describe Avalokiteshvara that way may be explaining Avalokiteshvara, but this is not thoroughly expressing the Bodhisattva.
Great, thank you. So now what I'd like you to do is we're going to take a couple of moments, a couple of minutes. I'd like you to consider these two paragraphs, what is kind of strange or troubling, confusing, and what's your general sense of the meaning of each of these paragraphs. So you can underline or, make little question marks or something that stands out for you. You don't even know why, but it just sounds like really cool. Just make a little mark and see if you can just get a sense of, what is this telling me? What is this telling me? So let's take a couple of minutes and do that.